With LG's current focus on producing high-end Android-based smartphones, it's been a long time since we last saw some messaging and QWERTY devices from the Korean manufacturer. And because of this, we decided to have a retro review today of the LG Neon. Hey guys, here OS Reviews. The LG Neon is a messaging phone that was pretty popular back in its heyday a few years back. It was popular because it had a very nice QWERTY keyboard, an interesting design that composed of a semi-touchscreen, which we'll discuss later on, and also it has some very jubilant and vibrant colors, with the neon greens and the whites that could be further customized when you first purchase the device into different color schemes. As far as design is considered, it's crafted entirely out of plastic. With that being said, the plastic that's used here is fairly reassuring and feels nicely crafted in the hand. The overall candy bar form factor was small, petite, and easy to pocket into jeans and also other bags. The screen being used on here is 2.6 inches and is actually a pretty good display, surprisingly, for a 240x320 resolution. It's bright, it shows off colors pretty well, and does a good job of displaying images, text, and some basic web browsing. Continuing with our hardware tour, on the bottom we have a jumble of icons that correspond to a 5-way navigation D-pad, and something I didn't really like was that on the center there is a AT&T key that brought you into the internet as opposed to being the OK or the select key. On the sides you have a menu and option key that are pretty responsive and easy to press, although on the bottom here these buttons are a little bit cramped. They correspond to the talk and delete and back or control keys. On the left and spine, you had access to a volume rocker, pretty easy to press, also a camera shutter key for the autofocus camera on the very back. Speaking of, the camera is 2 megapixels with a self-portrait mirror but no LED flash. And on the right-hand spine, there's access to a micro SD card slot that's hot swappable, which is a nice feature to have. The SIM card, on the other hand, is located behind the battery door. And finally, there is access to a proprietary charging port for this phone and also for the headphone. So unfortunately, you can't plug in a pair of 3.5mm jacks directly into this phone. There's also a lanyard port, and on the very top, a switch for opening up the back cover. Now, the QWERTY keyboard also is very nice in terms of the spacing and the design. Although it's only 3 rows as opposed to 4 or 5 rows, all the keys are nicely spaced, they have a nice amount of distance between them, and also they're raised above the surface, which makes them easy to press and easy to dial by feel on. It's also backlit, so they are fully viewable under direct sunlight and also in the dark, which is always nice. Now, taking a closer look at the screen again, I talked about how this phone uses a semi-touchscreen, and that's because not all functions will actually use the touchscreen display. In fact, you can only use some very limited functions for the phone to actually use the capacitive touchscreen. So for example, if I wanted to bring up the dialer, the phone now becomes a touchscreen product, and you can actually use it to dial by feel. There's a haptic feedback, so whenever I'm pressing on something, the entire phone vibrates. And it actually is very, very responsive. It's a capacitive screen, so the lightest taps are registered fairly accurately. But if I wanted to access any other features outside of this, for example, on the menu or anything like that, I find that I can't access anything directly by pressing. So unfortunately, the icons and the entire menu there is a bit kind of contradicting, just because they can only access the touchscreen on very certain functions. Taking a closer look at the menu interface, it's a very traditional kind of grid-like icon that we see on most AT&T phones back in the day, and we had access to IM client, our messaging services, our mobile email, MediaNet for browsing the web, and also MediaMail for downloading more applications. You can see that the emphasis here is on texting and also IMing because of that QWERTY keyboard support. And also, you have access to a yellow pages on here. For my stuff, it includes some pictures, some images that you can take in the camera, and there's also an address book, a MP3 player, and also under tools, you'll find access to a calculator, and also a converter and a tip calculator as well. Under games and apps, you have access to some more functions as well. Some basic Java-based programs you will find, but they are mostly trial-based versions, so there's Ms. Pac-Man, Bubble Bash. They're pretty fun and they're interesting to use for wasting some basic time away. And we see how we have this world alarm clock, this globe that can be spun back and forth to find your region and then zoomed in even further if you tap on something. So it's kind of a fun way to find and navigate through the overall experience. And overall, the performance on the phone is actually pretty fast and snappy. There's a little bit of delay back and forth. Of course, it's not a true smartphone, so we don't expect raging speeds here. But again, you have some functionality. There is document viewing, so if you have some basic text documents, you can actually read it and use it as a document viewer or a very slight ebook. Camera interface, this is a 2-megapixel sensor, so it's not the greatest thing in the world. And you can see how your video resolution is capped at 320x240 if you want to record some video. Although the frame rates for the video is kind of laggy, it's not that great, the microphone does a good job of picking up sound, and so the subject turns out to be alright, although there's quite a bit of lag. Something I do like about the camera, though, is that the scope of view is actually pretty wide, so we have considerably wider viewing angles than expected for such a low-resolution camera. I can then stop it. Again, there is haptic feedback on this phone, so if I wanted to delete it, for example, the phone will kind of vibrate and tell you you've deleted your image. I can also toggle back and forth between my different camera modes and then the video recording modes by tapping on that key over there. And image quality is okay, surprisingly good for a 2-megapixel sensor, but also not the greatest in the world. Although shots are very quick to be captured and the overall color saturation is actually quite accurate. So an okay camera can be found on this particular device. As far as battery life is concerned, the LG Neon has okay battery life. It lasted us about 2-3 days in our test before we had to recharge it, which actually is pretty good. And in terms of call quality, it actually does do a pretty good job as well. Reception is pretty strong. As you can see, we're using AT&T, at least here in Seattle it is. And call quality was generally crisp and responsive because the microphone does a good job of picking up the sound. And even if you're in noisier conditions, it still does a good job of overall picking up your sound. And then your callers will be able to hear you. So a good phone, of course, that's the main feature here, being a multimedia device. So that's pretty much it as far as main core functions are concerned. Again, we do have a few other features here and there, but they're not that significant. We do have a basic web browser, but it's super basic, and of course, you only can use it via 3G, which tends to be pretty sluggish, and you can only load the mobile site as opposed to the full desktop versions that you might find on smartphones. And retro look back here again at the LG Neon, because it was one of the more memorable slider messaging phones we found from LG. And nowadays, we don't tend to see as many QWERTY devices coming out of the Korean manufacturer's camp, and taking a look back at this phone, we certainly hope that in the future, LG continues to build QWERTY sliders for people that really need a QWERTY keyboard for typing out messages, and just to kind of compete a bit more with the BlackBerry phones out there. Overall, the LG Neon was a satisfying messaging device. It didn't have a ton of features, but it worked well as a phone, and although some of the features were a little bit quirky, overall, it is a phone that has both style and substance to it. And so this has been a retro look back at the LG Neon. Thanks for watching here at OS Reviews.